translation and published by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Responsibly, please. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Purport. Material world is an illusory energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system consisting of Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahara, and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death. As stated by Rishabhadev, Nunam Pamatta Ulta Pikaram Yat Indriya Prititaya Apri Noti Nasadu Manya Yata Atmanoyam Asannapi Kleshada Asha Deha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad at the materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 4. Thus, according to Rishabhadev, human beings in this material world are just like madmen engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good because in this way one creates another body for his next life as a punishment for his nefarious activities. And as soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in this material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahmin culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of life. So here Prabhupada explains about the Vedic culture or Brahmin culture. The definition of Vedic culture and Brahmin culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of life. Actually, the Krishna says in 11th canto to Uddhava, Paramanyam Balil Aham. Among Brahminic culture, I am the Bali Maharaj. So we are talking about this Bali Maharaj. So this is an important point you take note of. Carry on the purport. To teach this highest culture, Vanashram Dharma, is recommended. The aim of Vanashram division, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, is to train one to control the senses and to be content with the bare necessities. Here, Lord Brahmanadev, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaj's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or entire universe. In human society, therefore, Brahminic culture, Kshatriya culture, and Vaishya culture must be maintained, and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life, and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Agyana Timandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Umiltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adeta Gadadara Shivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. The personality of God has said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. And text 20. This is text 21. Text 20. I'll skip the Sanskrit. The translation. This is Bali Maharaj saying to Lord Brahmanadev. So, in response to this saying, actually we repeated this verse. O small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask from me as much land as you will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. So, Brahmanadev asked only three steps of land, but Bali Maharaj is saying that, oh, that's not enough. I didn't ask them more. So it's quite common. So if you go to millionaire or billionaire, don't ask for a 10 pounds donation. So you have to ask a whatever figure you come up, maybe six figures or seven figures. But it's how Bali Maharaj mentioned. But Brahmanadev's response was quite different. So before I continue, I seek blessings from all the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis. Pancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindhu bhevacha patidanam bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So, I prepared interesting picture. You take here from Brahmacharis, here for Brahmacharinis, you just have a look at this picture. Yeah. Take a look, you pass it around. There are multi of Brahmanadev. You are taking darshan of Brahmanadev. So, in India, in Maharashtra, there's a place called Aurangabad. Anyone who visited Aurangabad? Who knows about Aurangabad? Yes, tell us about Aurangabad. Ah, you did Rathayatra there. Okay. So actually, a few miles from Aurangabad, there is one rock cave which is called Ellora. This is one of famous Indian tourist site. Anyone heard of the Ellora, the rock cave? Who heard? Oh yeah, tell us. Oh. 1300 years old sculptures, yes. More. Tell us more. Yeah, nice place to visit, yeah. So there, they're all together, 34 caves there. So as he mentioned, around 1,300 years ago, it's carved. And it took around 150 years. And around 7,000 sculptures worked on it. So if you get a chance, you might visit there. But of course, it's not a famous site for the devotee to visit, but it's a famous site for tourists to visit. So somehow I happened to be there, and then the entrance, just right in entrance, there was Rose Palmer at the picture. That was there. So I took picture. So what you are seeing now is that there in the Ellora rock cave. So in this way, there was a lot of group of people went there to visit that temple. But for me, when I saw Bhamadeva Murti, it was something to me, like a manifestation of entire Srimad Bhagavatam. For others, they walk past straight away. Take no notice of it. For me, Bhamadeva appeared here. Wow. I never expected Bhamadeva to be here. But Bhamadeva is here. And naturally, kind of hand got folded, and then, I can't pay obeisance, but at least, because of the crowd, I just say, deeply kind of meditate on him. So, in this way, if you have certain knowledge or understanding or perception, then whatever you see, it has a different meaning. If someone doesn't know about English, if you open the entire Bhagavatam, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah? But if you know the language, if you know the Sanskrit, it has a lot of meaning to it. So, then, what can you learn from this Bhamadeva story? And also, what can you learn from the verse today? So, we have to think about that. So, here, it teaches us the mentality of mundane consciousness. What Pali Maharaj said before he fully surrendered unto Lord. He says that, you're asking me only 3 steps of land. Why don't you ask more? This shows that he has a lot. He has a lot to give. And also, I'm rich. I'm powerful. He shows that. So, one sense, we have to learn how to read between the lines. And also, this story is not just a story. So that through this story, actually what we have to learn is that how Krishna's mind works. If you want to know some person, or who is he or who is she, then we say, she's from America, and so on, and then she graduated at some university. But you cannot describe the person's mind very easily. But if you want to get married to her, or you want to get married to him, then actually you have to know that the person's mind, how his mind works. So, externally we are attracted to external features. But if you want to really get close to some person, then you have to know that how their mind works. So in this way, here, we have to learn how Krishna's mind works. Then if you know how Krishna's mind works, then you better chance for us to get close to Krishna. There is one example that in Mahabharata, you know all the story, but it's good to repeat again, good story. Krishna was traveling with Narada Muni. And then they were visiting one rich man's house. And then somehow or other, this rich man was quite stingy. He's not offering anything. And then they're just leaving straight away. And then, but this rich man asking for some blessing, looks like it, Krishna and Narada Muni, although he couldn't recognize them, but they looked like holy people. So what do you want? And they said they want this and that. Krishna said, he has already rich man, you'll have more wealth. And also, I'll grant whatever you wish. And then they left. And then they went to another village, very poor village, and then visited one very small house. And then there one Brahman came. And then as soon as he saw Krishna and Narada Muni, they offered the seed, and then they offered the drink, and then he offered the milk, the cow, and then they gave the milk also. And they were well treated and well received. And then when Krishna left, Brahmana, the Narada Muni saying to Krishna, you need to give him something because we're so well received. Why don't you give something? So I'd like to bless him that his only possession is a cow, so let the cow die. Of course, Narada Muni was perplexed. How come? How can you do that? You know, the rich man doesn't need any more wealth, but he gave him more wealth. But this poor Brahmana, only thing he got is that this cow, actually this cow helped you to give milk. So how can you take this cow away? This is a meditation for you. So why Krishna did that? So if you meditate on this story, then you will understand how Krishna mind works. So I'd like to give you some clue on this. So this is a meditation for you, but there is some, there should be some indication to solve or to figure out how Krishna mind works. So which means, in order to understand this, you have to change your perception. So again, in 11th canto, Krishna says to Uddhava the same thing. Uddhava had a number of questions because Krishna says, I'm going to leave now. And then Uddhava was saying, if you leave, how can I survive? I've been with you for 120 years. Give me some instruction. And then Uddhava asked a number of questions. And then Krishna answers a very interesting way. Actually, whatever you questioned me, like Arjuna questioned me exactly the same question. When he questioned me, actually he was in mundane consciousness. It's quite interesting. And then Krishna describes further along. So here now, I'd like to show a few things that what's the difference between mundane consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Possible. Let's talk about something has to do with the body. So, people dies. There are many causes of death. So what kind of cause of death? Any cause of death? Let's wake up. Disease, yes. So many diseases, cancer, or old age. And what is the cause of death? Accident, yes. So many accident. Car accident, plane crash, train crash, so many accidents. So many different causes of death. Yeah. But Krishna says that none of that is actual cause of death. Cause of death is me. Krishna says, Kala smit lokakshaya krit. Your time's up, that's why I'm coming to you. When your time's up, then basically you have to leave. The disease or accident actually is a medium for you to leave. This is Krishna consciousness. Actually, none of that, what we normally think as a cause of death, is not cause of really death. So somebody questioned, such as Maharaj died out of a car accident. Why this happened? He's meant to be, you know, nicely, peacefully in the car, in the house, chanting around the devotee. He has to live like this. This is how devotee lives. This is how we think. But Krishna thinks it's a totally different way. You've done enough service. Okay, you have to come to me now, quickly. Then it happens. So in this way, cause of death is not about disease, it's not about accident. It's only Krishna's will. When your time's up, we have to go. And again, another thing. People ask, how are you? In general question. I'm fine. Yes? Is this question is relevant to us, really? You could think about it. What do you mean by how are you? Our nature, Satchit Ananda. We are fragment of Satchit Ananda. We are eternal. We never dies. Do you agree? Yes, our soul never dies. We know everything, Satchit Ananda. We are full of bliss. There is no need to question, how are you? We have to ask, how is your body today? But that makes sense. But in our language, we are tricked always. How am I today? I'm not feeling very well. No, you are feeling always good. But your body may not feeling very well. Your feeling may not feel very well. Your emotion may not feel very well. And then doctor says to you, I'm not feeling very well, so I need to see GP. And doctor says to you, okay, you got cold. No, you cannot have a cold. Your body can have a cold. You are sick. No, you cannot be sick. Your body can be sick. But think, I'm sick. Our language teaches us how to identify ourselves as body, not who you really are. From the education, the Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, from right to beginning, we are never taught in this way. In one sense, we are hypnotized and also brainwashed through them. People think we are brainwashing them, or actually, if you analyze it, actually the other way around. So in this way, our perception has to be changed. And here, I'd like to quote something interesting. In order to learn quickly story about Mahabharata, story of Ramayana, sometimes we take a shortcut. What we do? We watch the serials. We buy the DVDs and sit down and relax and watch. So then I can go through the Ramayana without going through painstakingly in going through the books. So, there are always goodies and baddies. And then the demigods and the demon comes. The typical appearance of demons is that they have a big mustache and kind of a heavy looking, and the voice is heavy, is like that. But is it really true? And sometimes, in order to kind of entertain with children, we show various DVDs. But actually, we have to, in one sense, think that is it really, really good for them? Because we are minimizing their capacity of their own thinking power. So as soon as they think about Krishna, then they identify Krishna as what they have watched in their DVD. Rather than depending on description on scriptures. For example, Draupadi. So Draupadi means, if anyone sees the serials of the Mahabharata, Draupadi means very beautiful lady. Even there is the children's book about the Pandava story, Draupadi comes, and she's very, very beautiful and a fair kind of skin. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, here, seventh chapter, Draupadi described as Krishna. Why? Because Draupadi, the skin is very, very dark color, like Shama Sundar color. That's why Draupadi described as Krishna. Here, I'll read to you. Niksha Krishna Pakritam Guru Sutam Vama Svabhava Kripaya Namanacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Draupadi Tenso Ashvatthama, who was bound with ropes like an animal and silent for having enacted the most inglorious murder. Due to her female nature and due to her being naturally good and well-behaved, she showed him due respect as Brahmana. He said, Nikshaya Krishna Apakritam Guru Sutam. Guru means Dronacharya, Sutam means son. So here Krishna saw the Ashvatthama. So here Krishna indicates that Draupadi. So not only Draupadi, what about Ravana? Narada Muni was traveling on the Sri Lanka and saw Ravana's features. So exactly, so handsome, he wanted to pay obeisances. Again, the same. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so good looking, and then the girls in heavenly planet, they came for him and danced for him. He's so handsome. He's so good looking. But Hiranyakashipu, what we see is that always kind of heavy looking when you see drama on plays like that. So in this way, we have to develop eyes to see through scriptures. And also, now, this is a side story. So in Japan, the publishing business is not going very well. Why? Because everybody reads through either mobile phone, either iPad, so books not sell very well. There are hardly anybody books, but one book is became bestseller. The millions of copies sold. That book, the title called How Not to Be Murdered by Doctors. So this doctor, he graduated the medical university, and then he dealing with the patients. And then, as he was told, he was dealing with it, but patients are not getting better, and sometimes getting worse. So he's thinking, what is this all about? And then he kind of studied in his own way, then he studied the body, and he studied his own way of disease. So he realized that actually, when you go visit the hospital, actually, you're not getting cured. Actually, you're getting you're getting worse. He gave a prime example of cancer. So when people get the cancer, if early if you found the cancer, then there's a higher chance of a cure. But he said it is a lie. Cancer cannot be cured. Cancer cannot be cured by modern medicine. This is the definition of cancer. But sometimes there is a symptom which is similar to the cancer that you can cure it. But both of them, the best way of cure, you know what is that he said? Not to deal with anything. Not to deal with it. That's how to cure cancer, he said. Just be happy in your life. Eat what you like. And then relax and then peaceful mind. That's how you can cure cancer. Once you start to deal with the cancer, then actually make cancer strong. Cancer has his own consciousness, so he defends himself very, very cleverly. So when one part of the body, when there is cancer, what they do? They operate. They remove that part of the body organ. And then cancer is clever enough that before they move, they hide into another organ or body. And they dormant there. And for a while, it develops again. So he showed statistics. So in general, when you diagnose cancer, you die within six months. If it's early, then you die within 3 months. But if you don't do anything, in general, you live up to at least 3 years. He shows statistics. And then what happened was his own sister got breast cancer. And then what he did? He told his sister, you listen to me. And then basically they didn't treat well, they didn't treat at all medically. But of course, they eat something healthy stuff, all like that. And then her life a bit stress less. So in this way, her sister is still living. After diagnosis as cancer, she's living for 30 years now. And then every day, every week, he has 50 visitors who has got cancer. But anyway, so whether you believe it or not, it's your choice. But there is a different perception to what I'm trying to show it to you. And another thing is that here I got a quote that regarding independence. So when people, when they say that he's very independent, or Mahatma Gandhi fought for independence of India. So we have perception of independence, or being independent means basically you are not bound by anything. But in Yoga Vasistham, the Vasistha Muni taught to Lord Ram, there is one verse, it's very interesting, regarding being independent. Being independent means free from desires. This is the definition of independence. And then those who are independent, there are three symptoms. Please listen to this. Samudra Seva Gambhiryam. So those who are independent, they are like ocean. So whatever throws it, just sink. It doesn't affect anything. No effect at all. And then Stairam Meru Vyavastiti. Those who are independent, they are like Meru Mountain. So steady, nothing can move them. We had a devotee, Shivapati Babu, he is so steady with his service. Since he came to Manor, he went to Pujari department and stuck in his ashram all his life. Never moved. And sometimes I question him, why don't you travel sometimes? Why don't you go to India? And he used to answer that, what for? What for? And also, although he didn't talk too much with the other devotees, but he is very good at jokes. He's kind of excellent at jokes. So one time I was driving out, and he used to walk this road up and down for kind of in the afternoon. One of the afternoon, he suddenly started walking up and down. And then, hey, Jivavati Babu, do you need a lift? Yes, I need a lift. There. Can you give me a lift? I said, oh, I'm sorry. So, like him, like Meru Mountain, so a person who is being independent, who is independent, they're like mountain, they're so steady. And then, Anta Sitalaya Indo. Their mind is as cool as moon. So their mind is always cool, like moon. In Purusha Sukta, there is a description. Chandrama manaso jata chakso shulyo ajayata mukha dindras chagnischa purana payul ajayata. From Krishna mind, the moon appeared. From Krishna eyes, the Surya appeared. Mukha dindras chagnischa. From Krishna's mouth, Indra and Agni appeared. And purana payul ajayata. From Krishna's breath, all the air appeared. And if you have developed this type of eyes, then whatever you see is nothing but Krishna. There is a description in the second canto in creation. There's so many descriptions how to perceive Krishna through our material nature. Basically, trees. What is the trees? What are the trees? Yeah, hair on the Krishna's body. Then what is the cloud? Clouds? Hair on Krishna's head. Navya ashi tantariksham shishno do shamavartata. The space between the planets, that also Krishna. Shishno do shamavartata. From Krishna's head, the spiritual world, heavenly planet manifested. Shishuno do samabhartata. Papyam bhumir disha shrotra ata tata lokagam akalpayanna. Papyam, from Krishna's feet, Mother Bhumi appeared. And from the Krishna ear, 10 directions appeared. East, west, south, north, in between, 4 directions, and then up and down, 10 directions appeared from Krishna's ear. So in this way, what this Bhagavatam teaches us, what Bhagavata teaches us is that what appears to be real is not real. Whatever you see, whatever you name it, actually it's not real. That's why today's purport, Prabhupada said here, material world is an illusory energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. If we don't connect this material energy to Krishna, then nothing but illusion. It's like in the morning, Brahmachari shaving the face or head. So they're looking at the mirror. But they can't shave on the mirror. You have to shave on yourself. Ladies the same. They put makeup in the morning. Yeah. They can't put the makeup on the mirror and look like this. But what people do is exactly like that. There are so many problems. They're trying to solve problems. But actually they make it worse, isn't it? Trying to solve one problem. They solve one thing, but they create two more problems. They solve two, they create 4 more problems. It's like that. So in this way, we have to perceive we have to change our perception so that everything has to be related to Krishna. So if we, one sense, understand this one, actually we are in the game. We are in the game. The game with Maya. Either you see Maya or you see Krishna. Only 2 things. If you truly develop Krishna consciousness, you will see nothing but Krishna. You will see nothing but Krishna. This is how we mentioned. So in the second canto, in first chapter, title is called First Step in God Realization. You know what is the first step? Trying to see what you see as Krishna's manifestation. And then second chapter is called Lord in the Heart. And after you're seeing outside, then start seeing Krishna in your heart. And Krishna in someone else's heart. So this is what this Bhagavatam teaches us. So in this way, we briefly went over how to understand Krishna's mind, and also how to not to get too much bogged down by this is material energy. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. Do you have any comments and corrections and questions?